he is headed to the Senate after...
Blog Talk Radio.
Opposed and Senate passage is unlikely. D.C. residents have no voting representation in Congress. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Bill Wambly here. The first thing you're going to have to learn is until you stop expecting politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person who can change your life is you, but you need to know how. Listen to my show, the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk's weather outlook for Thursday. Well, we'll see partly sunny skies today. High temperatures, not as warm, around 63, 64 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures dropping down to a nice 48, 49. For Friday, mostly cloudy skies with a few sunbreaks, high temperatures on the decrease around 60. Those clouds and light rain showers moving in Friday night, low temperatures down to about 47. For the weekend, more clouds and rain expected, high temperatures in the upper 50s.
Hey there, it's Kristen Ralfingfeiner. I am the host of a great show you're going to want to listen to called Breaking Through. It's here on Mondays at 5 a.m. We tackle the top topics facing our nation with experts from across the country that bring news to you in Washington State to talk about how your voice matters, how you can best be heard, and how you can make a difference. We're on right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. at 5 a.m. on Monday. Breaking Through. Be there.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Are you a woman experiencing life transitions and who wants to be recognized for your whole potential? Join me and my co-host, Dr. Pat, as we discuss what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself as we both have done. This hour is packed with tips and stories on what it means to become whole, to integrate into your true self, and reframe your story in any given situation. Stay with us on this journey of self-discovery, powerful solutions, and unpacking the nature of who we are and why. You've already nailed your first step to your best self by tuning into this show. Now, here are your hosts.
Wow, here we are. Boy. Here we are. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm here with the most amazing, incredible Carrie Nail. And, you know, Carrie, let's talk a little bit about today. You know, this is Nailed It Radio, of course. And when we think about finding simplicity with your complexity, a lot of things happen. But I want to just give a shout out because this is also Earth Day.
Yeah.
And I was really struck by a couple of things, right? And I thought about Earth Day a minute, and then I thought about the fact that I had a conversation with someone in the turbine business, you know, the wind turbine business.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't too long ago, and he and I were talking, and I missed parts of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he didn't say it, but I missed parts. The long and the short of it was he was literally inviting me to come to a wind turbine farm and climb up the wind turbine.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's why today effective communication is really good. Now, yes, I said yes, and yes, I will still do it. Do that after you've had knee surgery. So I totally missed the whole, I'm really inviting you to come here, and we're going to get you up there.
I'm wondering how he said it to you, if it was in a lot of detail and you're maybe skimming over, you know, the details because you're a big picture person.
That was exactly it. He lost me. He lost me, I think, at the part where he said something. How did he say it? Said something like, we were talking about the mechanics of it and the simplicity, right? And that's why I said find your simplicity within your complexity. I mean, the idea of wind producing energy is complex yet so simple. And he was talking about the inner workings of it. And we were talking about some of the controversy around it. And then he said, yeah, we're putting these on the ocean now. And so we had that conversation. But then he started to drill down into the mechanics. What is the motor in there? And you're right. I think I got glazed over. That's why we're talking about this today, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So how do you feel heard when you're communicating with others? So we're going to talk about strategies based on our personality preferences. And also included in that is once we understand our personality preferences, then we can either accept others' differences, and how do we do that? Or we may have expectations we need them to understand from our point of view, and we're going to learn how to communicate those needs to people that are different than us. So, yeah, I'd like to start with our energy. So we've got, I use the Myers-Briggs principles. So where we get our energy, how we see things, how we make decisions, and how we live our outer lives. So the first dichotomy is extroverted and introverted energy. Extroverts, their energy, they get their energy outside of themselves by doing things. And introverts get their energy by reflecting and being quiet and thinking things through. Now, we do both. It's just we prefer one over the other. So as an extroverts like to talk. We want to talk about it. So let's collaborate. We love to collaborate. People who prefer introversion, their energy is inward, and they need time to think about it, reflect on it, and maybe even sleep on it before they even can talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
So some strategies, especially with extroverts, if they're in, say, a brainstorming meeting, right, and all the extroverts are talking. They're talking over each other. And there might be an agenda, and the extrovert's like, okay, everybody, did you need to say something? Okay. All right, well, everybody spoke up who spoke up. Let's move to agenda number two, and then there's lots of brainstorming again. And, you know, by agenda number four, the introvert's like, excuse me, pardon me, I'd like to go to item number one, because they've been processing it internally before speaking. And that can be frustrating to everybody in the room. So a strategy for the extrovert who wants a brainstorming meeting is to give the information out to everybody, especially the introverts, a day or two ahead of time, and let them know their expectations of, hey, you know, this is going to be a decision-making meeting, and so please think about this, please read through this, please come prepared to provide input.
Yeah, I think there's so many layers of this to unpack right now. I want to bring it down to, you know, how this shows up every day. This shows up every day. This shows up at business meetings every day. Mm-hmm. And if you are in an organization where you rely on the innovation, creativity, and input from your team, this is one of the most important things you can learn. This is so important. It goes beyond anything you and I can cover in this time. But I will tell you what happens when we don't do it. And I'm going to talk about business. I'm going to talk about government. Anything where there are impactful decisions that are going to be made, what happens is the wrong decision will get made. It will get made. And it'll be too late when, you know, I'm an introvert. I'm like a gazillion introvert. People don't think that. They think, oh, here she is. But I'm the one at the meeting, generally, prior to being a business owner. I could sit at a meeting and sit, and I'm processing everybody in the room. And by the time I'm ready and I'm going to share, my boss is like you are, like a dollar short and then a day late or something like that, and then you just move on.
Mm-hmm.
But you said something else. I want to zoom in on it, and I want you to explain it if you could. I'm a processor. But I've learned to process out loud. And processing out loud, if you don't say to your extrovert, detailed friend or colleagues or team, I'm just processing out loud now, okay, what happens is something as simple as, you know, I'm really thinking of getting shelves for the garage. I'm thinking maybe about four of them, and I know we just threw everything in the garage, but I'm thinking, okay, well, where are they going to go? How big are they going to be? What are we going to put on them? How many do you think you're going to need? And what if they don't fit on that wall? But in my mind, I've already moved the file cabinets from here to here. I've already moved the records that were here over to there. And that can cause, please talk to this, friction. There's nothing worse than breakdown when friction happens. Tell us about friction in the mix.
Well, so you're actually talking about the next dichotomy, which is sensing and intuition. So as an introvert, you feel comfortable talking to your staff out loud. And you're probably, your dominant function is probably your intuition, which is your creativity. You can see it all. And so that's what you're doing, is you're giving that idea of what you want before they've had a chance to process through the step-by-step, which is sensing and intuition is how we take in information. Sensing types, we tend to take in information with details and in the moment. And people who prefer intuition are big picture, sees patterns, future-oriented, can see it, actually see it, you know. And they're people who are intuitive are more about the why, and people who are sensing are more about the how.
Yeah.
That's what they're asking of you. Well, how are we going to do that? You know, I don't know. I'm already there.
And, you know, doesn't stress factor into this, Carrie? Let me ask you about this. I know we're going to talk about it later in the show, but under normal circumstances, what we're talking about is great. You also work with people because these decisions are sometimes in a stressful environment, and that really makes the end game so much more important, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So what you're talking about, and, yeah, we talked about stress last time, type in stress. And so, yeah, these things cause stress. So if we can learn how to communicate more effectively. So when you are saying out loud some of your ideas, if there's any way, just first of all, let your staff know, hey, I'm just thinking out loud. That doesn't mean you have to go and do it. Or if you do want them to do something for you, then give them it's like the low-hanging branches of a tree.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of chunk things down into threes and maybe a little bit of detail so they can reach up and grab onto it, grab onto something instead of just a broad idea. And the same way with sensing type, we provide too much detail. we're starting down here. You know, intuitives are way above the tree line and out into the universe. And so besides, we're still down on the ground. Sometimes we don't dive down into the roots. And so what we need to do is come up to the surface level a little bit towards the tree and take our idea, our details, and chunk them into three groups, right, to present them to intuitives. Because if we present too many details to you, that's when the glaze thing comes over, right? And
yeah.
Like, whoa, you lost me. So if we can just, we have to, ascend unsensing, we have to take the time to think about how to present the information to a person. If you can chunk it up into threes and then provide the details as background information, should the intuitive person want to know why, here it is.
Yeah. And we're going to keep talking about this over and over and over as we go through the show today with lots of really great examples, because one of the things, I was reading an article, I've been reading a number of different articles because I'm really interested in what's going on in relationships and lives, and I just, every day I find a new couple that is like, I'm going to be single. And you know, you're not in their home, you're not in the workplace, you're not there, right? And then you top on sort of the environment we're in now of things. And it's hard to explain. You know, it's very hard to explain. And communication skills and what you're talking about right now, it could be the difference between growing a relationship or destroying a relationship. And I'm not exaggerating.
No, I'm not either.
Right. When we come back, we're going to talk about this. And I know you're going to talk about what happens when you layer a situation like COVID-19 on. And how does it show up? How can you, if you are the one coming from stress and fear, how can you be aware of that? And how might you communicate a bit differently to someone that's not? Let's take a short break. We got a lot to cover here. We'll be right back with Nail the Radio with Carrie Nail. How do you feel?
Just okay.
Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with the Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Welcome to Light Body Wisdom with internationally known light body whisperer, Grace Holm. She will make you laugh and yawn as you release lifetimes of trauma and begin to feel much lighter. Your divine gifts may be activated, allowing you to weave light into the fabric of the world. Are you ready to be your own light and shine? For more information about Grace, visit GraceGHolm.com. That's Grace, G-H-O-M.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You know, I am so thrilled I get to co-host with the host of the show, Carrie Nail. This is Nailed It Radio. Before we continue, I can't tell you that this is one of the most important conversations we can have right now. And there are a lot of reasons that we can talk about in another show. But right now, this is important to give people some tools. Before we go ahead and talk about effective communication, please tell folks how they can work with you, because this is what you do in your coaching practice. This is what you do in businesses.
Yeah. I'm a life coach, and you can reach me on my website, carrienail.com, K-E-R-I-N-A-I-L.com, or you can reach me via email, carrie@carrienail.com.
Look. We were talking a little bit during the break, and I want you to just really walk us through. It is very clear. If it's not clear to people listening, it is very clear how important. And there's a wide range, Carrie. It is, I'm not able to talk to my mom. I'm not able to go there. I'm not able to hold her. I got to Zoom her. I mean, communication and learning effective communication has never been more important than it is now, right? I mean, I was watching a Zoom call the other day with between a couple of people, and apparently somebody's phone must have gone off, and they bent their head down, and they're, like, on their phone. Mm-hmm. And that caused an entire blow-up. Mm-hmm. So take it away. How do we communicate? What is the impact?
Right, even on Zoom calls, right? It's that paying attention to and listening. And how do we do that? You were talking about relationships. So as an extrovert and a very organized person, I usually expend my energy and thought process early in the morning and throughout the day. So by the end of the day, I'm kind of done. And my spouse, who's big picture, open-ended, introverted energy, is slow to wake up and gets his juices going probably more towards noon in the afternoon. And then depending on what he's been working on, something creative, it flows into the evening. And he wants to come home and talk about these big ideas, and especially if he's throwing numbers at me, I'm like, oh, no, I am so checked out. And so we've had this going back and forth, right? When's our optimal time? What's our sweet spot? And finally, because that's what happens to a lot of couples, you know, at the end of the day, after they've been working all day, or one's at home, one's not. And then the only time they have to talk to each other is at night. And that's not always optimal for each of the different preferences. And so what we came up with is on Saturdays, after we've been able to sleep in and relax, then it's like, okay, let's talk. What, you know, especially when it's a big subject, right? And we need both of our brain powers to be working at the same time. So those are just things to think about. Is if something's not working the way it's working, think about each other's energy, how we like to deal with the outer world, and even if we're more logical or more people-oriented, you know, the numbers with me, I've really got to have my brain turned on in the mornings to take in numbers. Nighttime, that's not my thing.
And, you know, let's talk about how we communicate that, because, you know, I think that sometimes it's hard to find the words to explain.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it doesn't make sense to the other person, there's got to be an accepting and allowing part,
mm-hmm.
right? It's got to be where one person says, you know, the number's at 8 o'clock at night. I really want to hear you. Can we have that at coffee tomorrow?
Yeah.
And then the other person has to say, no, but it's really important. I got to talk to you about it. I'm already glazing over from that conversation. I'm already like, forget it. How do we negotiate that ground? Because that, I think, is where we really break down. Brush yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if the other person's like, oh, no, but this is really important to me, like the numbers.
right. So, you know, when I think about the dichotomy of decision-making between logic and people, with thinking and feeling, is, to express our needs, especially if we're a feeling person, we get very passionate. And if we want to express our needs to a more logical person, we really need to calm ourselves down so that we can communicate our needs in pretty much a non-emotional way. How do we do that? We do that by breathing, deep breathing. That was our second episode, right?
Yeah.
How to respond versus react. And it's not easy to do in the moment, but just remembering things like that. Okay, I just need to calm down here, do some deep breathing, maybe walk away. Just say, hey, you know, I'll be right back. You know, and that's okay. And sometimes it's like, okay, I'm gonna allow the information to hit me. Whether I absorb it or not, I'm going to allow it. Okay.
Right.
Great. I'm not going to be able to respond, though, right now. But please, I know this is important to you. And maybe we can figure out a time where I can respond.
Wow. Wow. I want to talk about, from your perspective as an expert in this field, I'm really kind of like just brushing across the impact. I've given a few examples. There's a reason that the divorce rate right now, even with the pandemic still continuing, is higher, not just in the United States, but the UK is just inundated with divorce filings right now. Business partners can't communicate. I have a friend that owns a restaurant, and in our state, we got some great news that employers will be compensated for people taking time off to go get a vaccine if they want it.
Mm-hmm.
But the dialogue that goes on between whether it's business, whether it's partners, whether it's you and your accountant, but especially your loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask you, you are on the front line. I don't even know how to quantify the importance. Can you?
Quantify it. Well, you just said it. I mean, the relationships, right? Both personal and business relationships. You know, I imagine even business partners are struggling as well.
Yep.
But you said a couple things, or maybe I just thought of them as you were talking. Part of it, too, is, again, understanding our preferences. I'm a feeling. I naturally prefer feeling in how I make my decisions, people, my own personal values. I like to be appreciated. And if I'm with a more logical person, whether in my personal relationship or working relationship, and if they need to give me feedback, first start with some rapport. They're just diving in, and it feels like I'm being attacked. Because feeling types, we take everything personally. And thinking logic types are, well, it's not personal. Everything's personal to us. So start with appreciating. So it would actually start with rapport. Hey, how are you doing? And be prepared. Be prepared to listen with empathy. And that takes time and it takes energy. When we're doing something that goes against our natural preference, just remember it's going to take up our energy, so we need to give it some time. And then if there is any critiquing, give it as solving a problem, making things better with positive solutions or positive information, positive feedback. And then a feeling person is like, oh, okay, thank you. I can go with that. And the same thing with a feeling person to a logical person. It's like, I want to talk to you. Be direct. Be as direct as possible. And like I said, very little to no emotion. So prepare yourself, right? If you're feeling passionate about something, go figure it out before you talk to the logical person about it, and try to be as direct as possible.
I want to talk to you about this when we come back too, and I think we've got a lot to talk about, so we'll probably skip the next break. Is when we are engaging in this, there is a process, and one of the things I alluded to before when we started the show is sometimes it's just conversation, right, Carrie?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's conversation where you have to come to a decision point.
Uh-huh.
Or you have to figure something out. That's still a decision, right?
Okay.
You know, that's really critical. It's critical. I mean, I'm not kidding about the example I used. I agreed to climb a wind turbine pole 2 weeks after surgery. No. And, you know, it wasn't that either one of us had an ill intent, but it was different communication styles. But what if it wasn't like that? What if it was a decision that is so in your heart? When we come back, decision-making. Do you want pizza or do you want chicken? And sometimes that pizza-chicken conversation can turn into the biggest argument in a relationship that you've ever seen. When we come back, Carrie Nail, all of you, we'll be right back.
To lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformation, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your life will soften you with fire. You will take hits that shape you. You will be forged into a powerful, purposeful work of art. Tune in to Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark. Join us, Dr. Papasili, in a three-part series, Truths in the Creation of Katana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christine Clark, a gifted, engaging speaker and trainer who has forged her life in the fires of self-employment, will take you on a journey to exploring the internal, mental, and emotional blocks that stand between us and a life of significance through an analogy of the process of crafting a traditional Japanese sword, or katana. For more information about Christine, visit SunglowTransformation.com.
Everybody, welcome back. This is Nailed It Radio with Carrie Nail and me, Dr. Pat. I get to really sit here, you know, side by side with Carrie. She is an expert in what we're talking about. She's an expert in helping us understand personalities, what that means. She's an expert when it comes to energy of introverts, extroverts, strategies, an expert in when it comes to perception. How do you weave through the many layers of perception? And then how do we wrap this and bring this all together to really provide better, more effective communication? And what I love about Carrie and what I love about this conversation, it doesn't matter where you are, right? So here's what I love about this. It doesn't matter if you think you're a great communicator and this other person is not. It doesn't matter. You can come together and work with Carrie and find this common ground and learn some tools, because in the world we live in right now, we need them. So I decided I am not Skyping to my team any more instructions that are important. It is the worst communication tool for somebody like me to use. I am a high-level thinker. I'm trying to give Olivia, Jacob, Jessica, Linda something that I'd like them to do at a 35,000-foot level. It doesn't work. thank goodness I get to work with Carrie about that. Carrie, how do we find out about you and the big D decisions?
All right. So you can find me at my website, carrienail.com, or you can email me, carrie@carrienail.com. That's K-E-R-I-N-A-I-L. And I'm a life coach specifically and generally women in life transitions and helping them find their simplicity within their complexity. And part of it is learning how to communicate more effectively by understanding who we are and our natural preferences.
Awesome. Okay, we're not just chit-chatting anymore. We got to come together. We got to make decisions. Sometimes it's a simple decision. I had a conversation the other day. It took 10 minutes. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want? Okay, do you want this? No, I don't know. What do you want for dinner? 10 minutes. 10 minutes. But those are not the decisions. We're talking about all decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We could be talking about a decision on how do we homeschool? What do we do with this? Help us out with decision making and what is the magic formula?
Well, actually, I was just reading about a formula today in my communication book, and it breaks it down into information, discussion, and then decision. And just having that, okay, we're going to provide information right now. We're not making a decision. Here's the information. Now, let's discuss it. Again, we're not at a decision-making point, but let's discuss it back and forth. And now, okay, all right, it's time to make a decision. And what I always find effective is saying, okay, this is what I heard you say. And then that gives the other party the chance to go, yeah, kind of, not sort of, not quite, this is, and then they are, and they can either say, nope, this is what I said, or yes, that's what I said and I'd like to add to it or whatever. And then you can move on from there.
You know, this is a, can I use the analogy of a dance?
Mm-hmm.
So recently I've seen this as a dance.
Mm.
And I've discovered a lot about myself. You know, as I said before, I'll be going back into the studios in May, and that will, I think, I'm hoping, that will clear up a few things. But what I've learned about myself is nobody's in my brain. They're not in my brain. They're not in my mind. They're only getting, I think we should do this. Okay. And so this is a small bit of the importance of great communication and decision-making. What is your experience? What have you seen with great decision-making, and what have you seen with decision-making?
Oh, boy. All the personality preferences come into play. And I guess, first of all, just remember, there's no right or wrong way to be.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's just, we have differences and we have similarities. And even when we have similarities, we have differences within those similarities, like environmental factors, cultural factors and things like that. So just having that appreciation that there's no right or wrong. Let's just understand each other better, where we're coming from, where we start. Because like I said, we go to the other side of the dichotomy depending on the situation. But I'm going to start more with people and logical thinking people are going to start more with the facts and take the people out of the decision making. And eventually you need to come together and do both when making a decision about anything, because it's about the people and it's about the facts.
I want to throw something in at this right now here.
Mm-hmm.
When it's decision-making, can we talk for a little bit about the emotional side? Because thinking and feeling, let's, right?
Yeah.
How do we communicate decision and thinking and feeling? And I had a friend say to me one time, and this is before probably they knew that you even existed, they made this statement. It was a blunt statement. It really hit me hard. This was a bunch of years ago. And I never was able to resolve it until, you know, later on. They said, yeah, let me just say this. Thinking, feeling. Guess what? Which one are you? That's like oil and vinegar. They don't mix. And I looked at him at the time and I said, yeah, but doesn't that make great salad dressing? And he just looked at me. And so this is really a myth. Thinking and feeling people just don't mix. That is a myth. Thinking and feeling people couldn't be in the same room together. We'd get nothing done.
Right. Because we need both.
Yeah.
We need the facts and we need the people. So so you were talking more about feeling. So I have an example of a family, a mom and dad and three boys. Everybody in the family is thinking logical except one of the boys is feeling. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this is the one dichotomy. Most of the other three dichotomies are pretty even in gender, male and female. The thinking-feeling dichotomy is just askew a little bit towards men tend to be more thinking and women tend to be more feeling. Not all, but there's just a little bit more thinking of men and more and a little more feeling of women. So this mom is naturally thinking. And the son who's feeling and the dad who's thinking were at loggerheads a lot. And she was a good go-between because it's like a foreign language. Her first language is thinking logic, but she was immersed in feeling because women in general in most societies are expected to act feeling with concern with people and putting people first. So she was an excellent translator between her logical husband, because they shared the same language, first language, and her son, who feeling was her second language as a woman.
Wow. Wow. I want to just ask you this question, because there's a really important reason we're talking about this, and I want to get to the important reason, at least that comes up for me. I think probably if I were to ask you the important reason that's come up from you and the reason we're doing the show is you're out in the world, you're coaching people, you're at business clients. Every day you are seeing this at many levels. I mean, maybe some days it is the pizza or the chicken conversation. Mm-hmm. But maybe on other days, it's divorce or not divorce. Mm-hmm. Maybe on other days, it's, I'm going to stay on my job or I'm going to quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand the people here. I just, they don't hear me. I feel invisible. All of the above. And, you know, I was thinking of a friend of mine the other day, and I said, I have got to send her to Carrie. Because if you are that different than the majority of the people in your culture at work, does it mean you have to leave? Sometimes
right.
It does.
Right.
But other times, not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's put on top of that everything that has really raised our level of awareness in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
How has that raised the bar for you and what you're seeing in helping other people?
Well, actually, it's exciting.
Yes.
Because I can help people look at other things, look at their strengths according to their preferences. If they're in a work environment that goes against their preferences, number one, they probably need your perspective, your different perspective. Because that's what I've done in big groups is we do a type table of the group to see what the type of the group is, or even family type, right? And if there's an outlier, let's be aware of those differences. And what do those differences bring to our group that's pretty much kind of looks like this?
Mm-hmm.
And so, first of all, what are you contributing? What are you contributing to your group? And make sure they know that.
Right.
And that's hard for introverts to let people know what they contribute. And then...
I think Olivia's listening right now to that.
And then the other thing, I just lost my train of thought.
Well, you were talking about, you know, it's hard for introverts to let people know what they're contributing. And I honestly, that leads to the greatest miscommunication on the planet, I think.
Yeah. And the other thing is if you're not doing what you love to do at work, what can you do outside of work?
Thank you.
Yes. That's what people are finding during COVID, being at home. They actually have time to reflect and think, well, what else can I do? I've always wanted to take harmonica lessons. I was teaching myself how to play the harmonica. I love to paint, you know, and it's nice to have time to paint. My sister just painted her house, her whole outside of her house, and has also started painting birch trees. And she hasn't ever really picked up painting before. So what do you like to do, and what can you do outside of work if you're not doing something you love at work?
Okay, you just hit a little something I want to chat with you about, because this is a really wrap-up for me. It's communicate if we are judging, perceiving. And I know we've got, we're not going to take any breaks here, because this one here, I think this is the one, okay, my opinion, where rubber meets the road in a lot of ways for me. Judging, perceiving. Mm-hmm. And can we talk about this? Because if we just understood these two, we might be able to hit a pause button. Maybe.
All right. My title on this one is Dynamic Strategy. So judging and perceiving. Judging means the words don't really kind of match what they mean.
They don't.
But under Myers-Briggs, judging is people who like to be organized and likes to make decisions quickly, likes to make a plan, follow a plan ahead of time, and plan ahead. And stick to the plan. They like rules. They like regulations. They like structure. People who are perceiving are open-ended, flexible, adaptable. It's about the journey, not necessarily the endpoint. For judging types, the endpoint is the thing, right? And so what I suggest is people who are judging, we have like a checklist, right? It looks like a ladder, right? And we have a list of things, details. That's something. But anyway, and if we check it off and move on, we feel accomplished. But there's no room to be spontaneous or for emergencies to come up. So kind of that grouping of three, your schedule for the day, three priorities. Everything else is nice to have. For a perceiving person, they're open-ended, flexible. They're just going all over the place. There's no structure or routine. Sometimes I say, just put in one little goal and try to reach that goal. And so just know, so when a judging person's working with a perceiving person, create a framework, a flexible framework, kind of a big picture framework that you can be flexible within. Because perceiving types, guidelines and rules are just guidelines that can change. But let judging people know if you're going to change the rules, why you're going to change them, or live with the rules. That accepting versus expecting.
Yeah. And don't you find, too, and I want to ask you about this, this is where you really have to find a way to communicate to each other. And judging is a really misconceiving when it comes to this.
Oh, so that doesn't mean they're judging.
No, it doesn't. And if you are somebody that is way over here perceiving, you need the help of somebody that is in that other category.
Mm-hmm.
To literally at least prompt you to really, how long are you going to keep those options on the table?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rugs are going to get clean. You have to decide who you're going to pick to get the rugs before the furniture comes.
So when I used to work with a perceiving boss, she would put the framework. We would do a workshop, a two-day workshop, and she would put the framework together on a PowerPoint with maybe five slides. She goes, here, fill it in. I'm like, thank you. Because working from a blank slate. So then I filled it in, and then we went back and forth. And
I
didn't mind the repetition of doing it over, and then she could work on a new one. The other thing, too, is deadlines. So a judging person, if I have a deadline, I need to turn something in at work, and I'm expecting information from a perceiving person, and I give them my deadline, they're going to wait till the last minute because they love last-minute pressure to get something done. That's where they get energized, and that stresses someone like me out who's judging. I want the information ahead of time so I can breathe and chill and relax and look it over. So I'm going to ask the perceiving person, hey, I need you to get me this information by this date so that I can look it over and turn it in by this date. But I need it from you on this date. And again, when I'm working with perceiving people, like if I'm too rigid in my plan, they're like, whoa, that's too much. So give them kind of a general outline and just keep going back and forth. So, and that's the thing too, perceiving people. Their focus, it can be all over the place, right? And it's like, hey, you know, just checking in with you, trying to, you know, don't be too overbearing, don't check in every day, but just check in, let me see how you're doing, you know, see what, you know, ask them about their focus and which is your focus and, you know, and
I love it.
So always follow up. Judging type needs to always follow up with the preceding types, because when we make a plan, it's set in stone. So we may not talk about it anymore. Then we go, we made a plan with a preceding person. I'm like, oh, is it Tuesday? Is it this time? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Right. So follow up.
And just all of the people on my team that are listening, that is me. All of the people that are listening, this is really why I ask for a whiteboard. It's less about what everybody on the team's doing. It's more about me. You know, am I staying on track with what I gave somebody to do? You know, I had a team not too long ago who knew this about me so much that they knew I wouldn't even remember what I gave them. I mean, I'm not kidding. It would be like, okay, she's never going to remember. She's never going to follow up. But that's why we have Linda, because Linda's the opposite. Mm-hmm. And so what I love about this is a dynamic duo. I think out of all of the different combinations, and maybe you can talk to this, if these two types get together in a congenial, collaborative, and good listening way, there's just not much that can't get done.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And it even goes back to the summarizing again.
Yeah.
This is what I heard. You know, we're going to get together on this date. And also, when I help open-ended people and I'm coaching, and they're like, I need boundaries. Usually they start with too many, and they're like, oh, I can't do it. I'm like, okay, well, which ones did work? And let's keep working on those and tweaking them. And that builds confidence. And it's that one line, that one goal. Let's just focus on that and make sure that works before you try another boundary.
Yeah. I think, listen, Linda had been listening to a bunch of your shows. It had to be, because we were talking about something. I mean, there's a lot on the table to make this move happen. And this, and so she nailed it. She basically said, okay, tell me what you just heard. So here I go. Well, I heard this, I heard that. She says, you know what? At what point did the level of detail completely overwhelm you so that you got so glazed over, you actually didn't hear the rest. You just checked out. I said, that's why you were listening too. She's right. And yet, I can go to the detail place. So I just want to have you wrap that up too. You don't have to be one or the other.
Right.
You can be, right?
Right. Just know where you start,
yeah,
where you prefer. And just know you can do details, but only to a certain point.
Yes.
And I can do big picture, but only to a certain point, and certainly not at night.
Well, Terry, thank you. I can't wait till we do the next show, because we're giving people a framework now here to really think about these things. And this is meant for all of you listening to really look at, which one am I? Which part of me is working for me? Which part is not working for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend, if you see your communication breaking down and you want to improve it, please work with Terry, because it's safe and she'll meet you exactly where you are. You know, not one type is better than the other. That is not what we're saying, right? I don't know that I want a perceiving person. Do you want a perceiving person building a rocket that I'm going to be sitting in? I don't know about that, right? Do you want them to be checking all the details of the nuts and bolts?
Right.
Not sure. What's your personal message? And, boy, this is such an important conversation.
Well, and you were saying it. There's no right or wrong. They're just appreciating who we are and the gifts that we bring. And sometimes those gifts are different than ours. What ours, our strength, our gift is someone else's challenge and vice versa. And so I like to go back to that accept versus expect. When you understand each other's personalities, you can either accept them and go, I need that because that's a challenge for me. But if you need to expect them to look at it your way, then the strategies we just talked about how to communicate our needs in a way the other person can hear us.
Carrie, how do people find out more about you? Thank you for all the great work you do in the world. How do they find out about you? And they can even work with you to find out which type they are. How do they do that?
Please contact me. Either you send me an email, Carrie@carrienail.com, K-E-R-I@carrienail.com, or my website, which is carrienail.com. And I'm Carrie Nail Life Coaching.
And I want to also say one other thing. Let's say it's you and your partner, and you're like in a relationship. Let's say there are two of you. Carrie will work with you both together. She'll
yes.
take a look at this together.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, one of the most effective things that we can do right now. Why? It will relieve stress. It will help you with decision making. And the other thing is it will just give you a sense of peace and understanding.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you so much for today. I can't wait.
Thank you, Dr.
What are we going to talk about next? Because I can't wait.
I'm thinking about confidence.
That's a good one. Hard to be confident as a receiving person in the face of a very strong judging personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really does take a lot, especially if you get to understand yourself.
You've nailed it. Thank you for listening to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail, and my co-host Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm at my best when I'm helping others be their best. Tune in next time for more tips and stories on what it means to become whole and integrate into your true self. Please subscribe to this show and get more information about how I can help you be your best. Visit CarrieNail.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Thursday to you and happy Earth Day. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound over on I-5 northbound at Michigan Street around Mile 161. A recent incident partially blocking part of the right lane. Good thing no medical aid fire assistance and response team have arrived on the scene and they are taking care of them. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and the Life and Insights of Joseph Chilton Pierce. Astonishing Capacities and Self-Inflicted Limitations with Michael Mendiza. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tim Roberts. Mourners in Minnesota are remembering 20-year-old Dante Wright, the black man who died of a gunshot wound at the hands of a police officer who was shouting, Taser, Taser. NBC's Shaquille Brewster reports.
There'll be an open casket funeral, and the family will close the casket for the final time before laying him to rest.
Kim Potter has since resigned as a Brooklyn Center police officer and is facing a manslaughter charge. A neighbor says the 16-year-old black girl who was shot and killed by a Columbus, Ohio police officer was in full attack mode. Donovan Brinson lives across the street from Micaiah Bryant and recorded Bryant on his garage camera as she appeared to try to stab two people with a knife. Brinson told the Columbus Dispatch he believes in truth and facts and video doesn't lie, adding he believes the police officer who shot Bryant had no other choice. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is praising President Biden's pledge to cut U.S. emissions in half.
Today, the president has taken historic transformative actions by announcing the bold pledge that America will cut our carbon pollution in half by 2030.
Biden is leading a virtual global summit on climate change today. The president argues it's time to seize the moment on climate change. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says he hasn't heard from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi about forming a commission to investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
I've gotten nothing from her. Leader McConnell has received nothing from her. She was even in my office yesterday. She could have dropped the letter off. Nothing from her. So I'm not quite sure who she's talking to or what she's talking about.
Pelosi said earlier she has talked with some Republicans about the commission. Dangerous weather could be on the way for many in the south central U.S. Severe thunderstorms are in the weekend forecast in East Texas and parts of Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. The storms could produce hail, flooding, damaging winds, and possible tornadoes. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Hey, everybody. Jay Ferner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. In fact, over 1 million homeowners took advantage of refinancing or buying a new home with Rocket Mortgage. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase again, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. With an official mortgage review from Rocket Mortgage, you'll see just how much money you could save by making a move right now. Don't look back over these next few weeks and wish that you had taken action. You could save hundreds on your mortgage payments or pay off your home loan earlier than planned. You could even take cash out of your home to pay off high interest debt, complete home repairs, or bulk up on an emergency fund. When you want to secure a low rate, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com. Rocket. Call for cost information and conditions, equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Dr. Hey, Benny, do you happen to have the full song? Did they send you the full song?
I will have to double-check and look for that one.
We'll get it to you. Olivia, you can... I think we have it on the J Drive or something. I want to send that to you. Why are we playing... I got emails, so I have to explain this. Why are we playing that instead of Clocks by Coldplay? That has been with my show, even like with Crust Busting. Okay. I probably have an email from the fan club of Coldplay giving me permission, if I were to keep the show all positive, to play that song. I got that back in, remember, Benny, when we went back and forth about the licensing like a lot of years ago? Can we play 30 seconds? This was before live streaming. This was before really archiving. And we went back and forth. We were like, oh, what can we play? What can we not play? Well, I reached out to a fan club, and I... somehow, just like I did with ex-Tina, Christina Aguilera. And I got a yes that I could do it so long as I wasn't promoting a product. And I took that note and I filed it. Now, when your computer crashes, you don't think about, did I get permission from Coldplay? Did I get permission from somebody to play that at the beginning and the end of my show? And I never looked back. I never went and thought in a million years, if you're listening Facebook, I never thought in a million years that I have to go back 15 years and find that. And boy, did I try. I pulled out, Benny, every hard file I ever had, any backup of every computer I've ever had. But if you go back 15 years ago, imagine what we call a computer back then looked like. Weren't we even using discs? I don't know. Maybe DVDs at the time.
It was more discs.
It was more discs.
Yeah.
I feel really old now, right there with that. I just like,
You want to go further back and say Floppy?
Oh, my God. Floppy. Floppy was right before that. How do I know Floppy? Here's how we go. I had just graduated school. All my research, which I just found, they're in floppies. I don't even know how to get anything off of that. The good news is I did get it off at one point in time, and I have it. But what I'm trying to talk about is, you know, today's show is going to be talking about astonishing capacities and self-inflicted limitations, and we're still going to talk about that. We're not going to be interviewing the guest that I had scheduled today, Michael Mendieza. We're just going to kind of move on from that. But I still want to talk about this topic, and I still want to talk about the work of Joseph Chilton Pierce. I still want to do it for a lot of reasons. How do I start? Where do I start? I want to start by going back, Benny. And I want to go back 17 years ago, 17 or 18. It was really 18 for me that something happened in my life path. I have past life regression people that... Joanne DiMaggio, I have past life regression people that are like, we got to sit down and look at your past life stuff, right? But how do you have a lifelong dream to go back to school, to get a degree that you really don't know much about, but your association with that degree comes from being 17 years old and working in Bell Labs, genius Bell Labs, with brilliant people, and you somehow deliver mail to Arno Penzias, the Big Bang people, to mathematicians, that you couldn't get to their mail box in their room because papers everywhere, papers piled high. And you'd walk in and you'd see one of my buddies I deliver mail to juggling. These are brilliant people. Then you go to Building 15, and Building 15 is where the entire acoustical foundation and infrastructure for what we used to call a phone. Now, then we move to cell. Now, I am not sure what we're calling the thing we're using that we talk to people on. Some people said, we don't call it a cell. We call it something. I don't know what it is. It's a cell phone. It's a smart cell phone. Maybe it's not so smart. My cell phone's smarter than me because I can't even figure out how to turn my Samsung, what are you, Samsung 20, off. Why am I sharing this? Because here's what happens sometimes. And this is what I've learned about spirit. This is why I love to talk about street smart spirituality so much. I thought at the end of all of these scientists' names, some of them had like MD or some other D, but most of them had PhD. PhD. That's what they had. I deliver mail. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. PhD. So I'm 17, just coming off of a homeless bout. I get this mail trip. See, I don't think there's any mistakes in the universe whatsoever. No mistakes in the universe. Because here I am, I'm coming off of there. And by the way, I have the record, or had the record at the time, at Bell Labs, entry-level mail delivery person, $61 a week. I held the record for the longest time in the mailroom before getting a job out of the mailroom. Another close check. I got the record. Why?
Sorry, Pat.
Why would I have that record?
Congratulatory segment.
Okay, so here's me at 17. Just so y'all know where we're going with today's conversation. I'm 17, right? Not really traumatized by being homeless because I never really dealt with that till later in life. And I learned a ton. I learned how to beg for money, which is so important. When you're in a business for yourself, you better learn how to ask for money. And you also need to know how when you're sitting at the Port Authority and somebody drops a nickel in your baseball cap, you need to be able to say, thank you. Hey, if you come back tomorrow, can you make it a quarter? But here I am, by the grace of the universe, God, angels, I somehow found out that I still had a job offering from Bell Labs. I don't know how that happened. I can't remember the details of whether I came back or I don't know. But here I am. Dara Stone is looking at me. I shared this story. I love Dara Stone. She was the HR person that hired me at Bell Labs. In the end, it turned out to be a 24-and-a-half-year career. I am literally one of those people that couldn't put a sentence together. I didn't even know what a comma was. I couldn't read. I couldn't write. This really was me. I graduated high school by the grace of an English literature teacher that cut me a break in summer school before becoming homeless, before all that. But here I am. Building 15, Building 2, Building 5. Okay, Bell Labs looks like some kind of building from Batman the Asylum place in Batman and Birds of Prey and the Joker. That's what buildings with Murray Hill look like. Beautiful copper roof, though, that I didn't always call. So here we are. I'm delivering this mail. So thing number one, I decide I'm not going to deliver all the mail on the mail trips because I want to go over to Building 15 because I want to look at what they're doing with the Sound of Frogs. I want to go over there and I want to spend time in the sound room, the acoustical sound room. So what I end up doing is skipping trips. Now let me tell you about Building 15, everybody, because this is the weirdest thing. As you hear me talk about me as a 17, 16, 17, 18-year-old person, you have to have top clearance. I mean, you have to have Building 15, and then when I went to Whippany on all the government contracts over there, you have to be cleared for, you know, like in the government, like the White House, when they say, oh, you got to have top clearance. You got to go in that special room to even talk, right, Benny? You ever heard that?
I have. Maybe never been there. I would like to someday.
Yeah. I had that clearance.
Sweet.
Lord have mercy. My stepmom used to say, Lord have mercy. They really gave that to you? Yes. Top clearance, delivering mail. Doing real good, having a ball. By the way, up on the top floor, fifth floor, Building 2, where all the boiler things are hanging out, ping pong. Play ping pong. But here I am. I am PhD. I'm delivering this mail to Arnor Penzias, who then became president, who then did the Big Bang, all of that. Bagels on Friday. We sit down with Arno, called him Arno. Should have called him Dr. Penzias. I don't know. He was Arno to me. He drove like a 48 Buick. It's just incredible. And PhD, PhD, PhD. So one day, and then Linda went to work at the phone company. My friend Laura went to work. We're all at the phone company. All of us lived in Jersey. We went to the phone company because we heard that they never fire you. So we're figuring, my gosh, we can just keep partying and work at the Bell Labs. Changed 25 years later, but they didn't fire people. But PhD. So here we are. I get called out on the carpet in the mailroom. I'm 17. This is an entry-level job. Come on. A five-year-old could do this job, but it's not me. It's not my personality. So why would I get in trouble? We had a really strict supervisor, and none of us wanted to stay. So I'm going to give you two examples, and I'll talk about them when we come back. None of us really wanted to stay till 5 o'clock. And you have to stay till 5 o'clock. I mean, that's it. Like a bell goes off back then. 5 o'clock. None of us says 5 o'clock. The other thing is we worked for this really strict, I think it was Ellen McCloskey, really strict, no smile, no nonsense. Males went down mail chutes. Oh, my gosh. And I happened to be in the mail room with three other people that were almost like me. Except I'm the one that got caught. When we come back, limitations. Can you see them? Do you want to change them? And what do you get in return? We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with looking at astonishing capacities. And what is it about an acronym that I worked for, the company that has more acronyms than they have phone lines? We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Shades of Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendar. Shades of Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and Spirit Walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com. Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Take the power of essential oil healing to the next level with the Essential Light Insight Deck, containing 61 oracle cards. Each card holds a painting and message that captures the spirit of an essential oil. By drawing a card, you'll illuminate the spiritual healing capacity of plants and transform your day. For more information about the Essential Light Insight Deck and Jen Ripa, visit Thriveology.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. We're talking about, your astonishing capacities, but also self-inflicted limitations. So I was just sharing back way old school, and I was talking about the influence that happened to me early on, getting a mailroom job at Bell Labs, the most incredible place. And so I was talking about the fact that here we are in a mailroom. Now, you have to understand this. You're in a mailroom, and this is really old school, Benny. This is like when they had chutes that would deliver mail to different buildings, like these vacuum chutes that you drop mail in. And so there was about three or four of us where we would kind of cut from the same cloth. And I am really very lucky. I should have been fired then. So what do you do when you're 17 and you have, like, you just don't like being told that you can't leave 2 minutes early? I mean, and you couldn't. You at 5 o'clock, that's it. So things like set the clock ahead. We'd have to climb up on the wall, these old school, like, white face clocks with the brown metal rims. Do you remember them, Benny? No, you probably don't. But, you know, like an old school clock. So we climb up on the wall, and we do that. On another day, we would all kind of jump into our lockers. These are really tall lockers. We'd jump into them, and our supervisor would come in. Nobody'd be in the mailroom. I mean, this was what it was like to be at that point in time in my life and not really understand that this maybe is a career. I didn't even know what that meant. But PhD. So here's what happened to me at a young age. And you ever, you know, if you've ever watched the Twilight series, the Twilight series with Bella and, you know, Edward and all of that, there is a thing they call imprint. An imprint is when, like a duck, you know, if a duck sees you as the first thing they see in their little baby lives, you're the mama. And so we imprint, things imprint, right? What imprinted to me and the association I made was these people with this thing on the end of their name, that means fun. That means juggling. That means ping pong. See, I didn't have any concept it meant hard work, science, right? I had no idea. It meant, wow, if I did the PhD thing, holy cow, I am going to be so happy in my life. And that imprinted on me. It imprinted on me, stayed with me. And what happened with that? It got so embedded. And this is where Joanne DiMaggio would say, this is actually a past life. See, I didn't know that then. I'm just thinking, like Benny said before, I'm 17. This is the time to party. This is like Donna Summer and everybody. This is like, go down to the village. Yeah. Bob Dylan. Yeah. This is it. You work so you can maybe pay some rent, but then you better have enough to go partying. But I got a PhD. There's something about that. And I remember turning to Linda a number of years later, walking down one of the halls at Murray Hill, and I said, you know, I'm just going to get a PhD one day, right? Because that was my association. If I could get what these people had, I could have what they had. I could have that personality. I could have that joy. There was no limitation to what I saw in these people. Their kindness, you know. So that was what I did. And I said that to her, and it never left me. And ultimately, when I did leave the phone company after a downsizing effort that I refused to implement, I went right there. I didn't skip a beat, and I still didn't know what that was. I still didn't know what I was signing up for. But it never changed. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, about laying a foundation of an intention. Even if you don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to play out. And that's really the story in the history of the Dr. Pat Show. It's the story in the history of crust busting. It's the story in the history of the Transformation Network. It's the story in the history of Transformation Talk Radio and the evolution of what we're doing. It's the story of what next year we'll be launching called AI for the Soul. It's that story where you get this hit, which I now know is the mind guidance, and you just don't lose it. You hold on to it. You just don't lose it. You hold on to it. And, you know, when I think back, I don't think I'm different today. I don't think I'm a different person. I think I'm way more restrained. You know, I'm not going to take my motorcycle and drive it up somebody's stairs to get to the second floor of their apartment. I wouldn't do that anymore. That would not be something I would do anymore. But there's some aspects of who we are that stay with us, that curiosity, you know, the way that we look at things. And I was preparing for today, Benny and Olivia, because we're going to talk about Joseph Chilton Pierce. And I was going through this book, and I was trying to figure out, is there a one-liner here? Just like when Dr. Penzias and Dr. Wilson said, this is called the Big Bang. That's like a one-liner. That's like a great, if you had to create something like a brand for a major discovery, who wouldn't want to be the Big Bang? And then, of course, what happens? Mega television show, Big Bang Theory, okay. So it's a thing. And I'm reading through this book. Our problems are largely man-made, caused by ignoring nature's plan. Nature herself worked out all problems eons ago. What? What? Gosh, why am I working so hard? So I started to read some of the wisdom. And I had also read Pierce before. But Michael Mendiza took the work of Pierce and he put it in sort of a synopsis. You know, sort of a book that says, here we are. And here's the part that I remember most. And this is the part I love. I think this right here is what every one of us needs to invoke. Somehow, if we could figure out how to invoke that now. Whether it's I'm sitting at home, I don't know how to come to my job every day at 5 o'clock and still take care of two or three kids. And it's this. It's called creative imagination. Now, I got to tell you, myself, Donna, who was in that mailroom with us, we did some weird things. We should have been fired on the spot. But our hearts were in the right place. We didn't really harm anybody, although I got to say that we don't know who did this. We did get blamed for it. Somebody literally threw a sandwich down the mail chute. What a mess. Oh, my God. That was just like, you got to be kidding me. But here we are. Imagination is this, the ability to create images not present to the senses. The ability to create images not present to the senses. I caught something this morning. You know, I don't do a lot of television in the morning. If I watch television, it's got to be bizarre. It's got to be like that new hit series, Debris, or something like that, which is so bizarre that I don't even have to think about it. But I caught something this morning, and it hit me. Somebody created a little piece of paper. I think it's paper. And you take it. I'll have to get you the right name of it. And you take it, and let's say you're putting your food in storage, right, a storage device. You take this little piece of whatever that is, and you put it in there, and it keeps it fresher. And I don't know why today I would look at something like that, and all of a sudden it would get my attention. It's like this little thing you take, and you put it inside your storage thing to keep whatever you've got in there fresher. How does somebody imagine that? Do we use our imagination somehow subconsciously to come up to the point where what we really want to do is solve a problem? Do we use imagination just for fun? Do we use it for creativity? Do we use it to do great things in the world? Or do we sometimes use imagination to cut us a break from everything we're doing? Have you had your 5-minute sit-down imagine moment today? When we come back, we're going to talk about imagination, pros and cons. Right here, when we come back, are we making our own limitations? Are any of them real? And what can we know about ourselves? And I'll tell you how long it took me to get to the PhD arena. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
To Heart with me, Craig Richardson, carves a pathway from your mind to your heart to activate that innate compass to overcome whatever life sends your way. As an intuitive life coach, I am ready to guide you to an amazing life. Tune in live every second and fourth Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about me, visit CraigERichardson.com.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kiefer as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Patricia McMahon, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that a whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford-Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Everybody, welcome back. And again, I can't thank Nick Johnson and his group at the time that created that song and gave us permission to use it. Thank you so, so very much. You know, today we're talking about, indirectly, the work of Joseph and Chilton Pierce, but we're talking about self-inflicting limitations. And, you know, I was talking about sort of these early years of my life, and we were just kind of chatting during the break. I was talking to Benny and Olivia, and, you know, I thought about this, but not quite in the context that Benny and Olivia just talked about it, is that, you know, I'm thinking about times in my life where I would show up on a Saturday for overtime, and my boss would show up to open up the doors to the office, and I would be sound asleep, leaning up against the water fountain with a beer in my hand. And it's like, okay, yeah. In today's world, that would not fly. That would probably be like, what do they say? You know, you take a picture of that and it goes viral, and this is now. And yet, there are some things that imprint with us. That PhD thing stayed with me really long. And I will say that as I went through that journey, and I did, I worked my way up in the phone company till I was an executive in HR, and by that point in time, it wasn't the telephone company anymore. It had been divested, and we were part of one of the new structures. And one of the things that I learned was I was never really going to go get that PhD because I couldn't figure out how to do it. But I pretty much was threatened into going back to school at night. I had to get an undergraduate degree, or I was never going to move forward. It just wasn't going to happen. And I remember my AVP saying, you're going to do this graphics job. You've got to do a frontline job. But you're never going to get to director until you get an undergraduate degree. My undergraduate degree took 13 years. I am so grateful for the phone company to pay for that. 13 years. But when I was presented with, you're never going to get dot, dot, dot until you do dot, 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 I did 2 years in 2 years. I changed schools. I went to the College of St. Elizabeth's, and I just put my nose down, and I finished that in record time. What is it that motivates you? Is it something like that? Are you self-motivated? Are there things that you want, but you may get in your own way? And, you know, as I think about this story, as I carry it forward, even with that, I stopped because my career at that point became important. And here I was. And so what does the universe do? It doesn't forget the intention I set. Back over here when I was 23, it never forgot that intention. It didn't ever forget it. So what I realize today when I look at intention and I look at self-inflicting limitations, I was the self-inflicting limitation. There was really nothing to stop me except the fact that I like to have fun. I really didn't want to go to school at night, except when it was put in front. So here I go. So I'm at this point now. Now I've got the undergraduate degree. I didn't even put it together. I didn't even know the order that you had to go through to even go through that education process. I don't come from that family. I'm the only one in my family to graduate high school. You know, my brothers, my sisters, my stepmom, they all got GEDs. But this was like a new thing. So I don't come from a family where somebody said, you go to school, and then you've got to study for this, then you've got to take this test, then you've got to... No. So the universe then decides, boy, that PhD, I wonder if she's still going to do that. So how do you get from being executive to then doing that? Here's the short answer. I had an intervention from the universe that enabled me to look in the mirror at myself as a corporate executive, with all the baubles, everything that you get from that, the big house, all of that stuff, and I looked in the mirror, and I was unrecognizable. And I realized at that point in time, I could not do what this company wanted me to do. I could not implement a downsizing program that was going to take away a person's pension, 1 month away from a pension. I could not do it. But I didn't know what I was going to do. I just wasn't that person. In a day, in a moment, in a nanosecond, I wasn't going to be that person anymore. And within months, I had created a perception of who I was, rebellious, problematic, from grace, off the corporate list. And that was the universe for me at that point in time in my life saying, we didn't forget what you said over here about this. Even though you went in here and you put all these self-inflicted limitations to even make that happen, Pat, we didn't forget that. And so as my boss is firing me, Roz Doctor, firing me, ripping a badge off my neck because I refused to fire a woman with 29 years, 11 months of service. And I told her, you can take my head count. And by the way, I was 6 months away from a full pension, and I didn't know it. This is the universe, and I love it. I didn't know that at the time. But all I could think about is, man, I wonder if they still have my application. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I didn't realize the lessons. And this is before the movie The Secret came out. This is before any of that. But here's what I want to say about it, is that there is, inside all of us, there's this innate ability to carve, to craft, create, imagine, manifest, step in potholes, step out of potholes, you know, win, lose, all of the above, and create the lives we want. And I was reminded of it during this epidemic. what I was reminded of during this epidemic, that even with everything that's going on, I have lost people in this epidemic. People that would perhaps wouldn't have died if it didn't happen, although I know when it's your time, it's your time. But I lost people. I think I'm not alone. I think I started to look at my life a little differently over the past 18 months. And I was also reminded that regardless of what's going on the outside, you can still imagine, create, implement, intend, act, allow. You can still do it. You can either take the laws of probability, which will say you are the least likely person to ever get into any graduate school. And by the way, just so you know, I was rejected by 35 schools, except for one. It happened to be my first choice. And that one school put me on a wait list. And I was already in Seattle. I didn't think I'd ever get into the school. I didn't know what a wait list was. But here's what I know. Despite those setbacks, do you know how capable you are? Do you have a sense of, regardless of what's going on the outside, of what you can create and how it can be created? And I think that to me, and today, that's what I've learned in this past 18 months. I've learned that despite what a situation looks like, it cannot take away what's on the inside of us. It can't take away our imagination. It can't take away our creativity. It can't take away our mindfulness or lack thereof. It can't take away our love for each other. It cannot take away those things that are important to us on the inside. It just cannot take that away. And this, to me, is foundational for what we're building moving forward. I'm so reminded of it by all the people I get to work with every day. But in this book, This Astonishing Capability, Self-Inflicted Limitations, The Life and Insights of Jocelyn Chilton Pierce. It's really kind of interesting. And when I think about this, and I think about what kind of thought process in mind did he have? I mean, what was it, Tim on the shoulder? What was his PhD at the end of somebody's name? You know, what was it that got him to the place to talk about bonding, connecting? You know, what talk about things that he called radical discontinuity? But in the end, what's the message? What's the message in the end? And here's what it is. You can read through 200 pages of the book and get a very deep understanding. You could read it. You can hang on every word. You can go through enormous lengths to try to understand it. And in the end, he talks about the rebirth of spirit and the heart-mind matrix. The heart-mind matrix. He talks about it as a reciprocal interaction, like exchange. He talks about it like, I give you a dollar, you give me a coffee. Here's the question I want to talk about when we come back. Do you have a sense of what the frequency is of your own heart-mind matrix today? Do you have that? Do you know how that shows up in your life? And if, in fact, you know what that feels like, and you just can't find the strength to really muster up that level of connection, there is a pause button. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio,
exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kiefer as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara Company. I've been using the Volara Company equipment, the Air Machine, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you go to MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit SarahKRamsey.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the energy paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The energy paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to The Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Pat's show. We kind of changed it up today, sharing a whole bunch of stories, kind of reflecting, but also reflecting on times. And, you know, the thing that I reflect on now most to all of you is that it's taken me a whole lot of years to really realize a few things. And I've mentioned this before. One of my greatest mentors and teachers has been Viktor Frankl. And I looked at him, and I'm going to actually, if I was prepared today, if I knew what was going to happen today, I would have literally gone through, you know, the teachings of Viktor Frankl. Because this is a man in one of the most horrific scenarios that I can even imagine. And that is the concentration camps of World War II. And when you realize that how people were rounded up, even family members of mine rounded up, and put in horrific situations, separated from their families, the insights that this amazing psychiatrist had was a carry forward from work he had previously done with students. And, you know, what he talked about and taught us about is what he did, not to survive physically, but to survive emotionally and mentally. What he would think about every day and how he would think about it. Man's Search for Meaning is, it's one of his books. But I was shocked by that about 8 months ago. And I think, Benny, I've mentioned Frankel a bunch of times. And that's because I am reuniting with his teachings. And here's what I love. In this idea of the heart-mind matrix, this, to me, was the pivotal moment in Frankel's work. The heart-mind matrix. You know, in the work of Pierce and, you know, the interview we were doing today, it was a little bit different. There are more concepts, you know. And so when we think about the heart-mind matrix and perception and what we see and what we don't see, the idea of nurturing comes up. And this is what I loved about Frankel. In his own way, he knew that there had to be a nurturing aspect to him in a concentration camp, people around him being burned to death. He knew that. And when I think about this in the world we live in today, and I think about what we are capable of and what's available to us, here's what I come to. And boy, I'll tell you, some of us are a slower learner than others. No one can take away our power of thought unless they do something physical to us. They can't take away our power to choose. It doesn't matter. You know, even if you're locked up just like Frankel was, he had decisions to make every day in what he did and how he did it. Every one of us do. Can't take it away. Even if somebody imposes a law that says you must get license plates on your car, you can choose not to get your license plates. That's it. You can do that. Or, yeah, if you buy a half gallon of milk, you have to pay for it. You could choose not to pay for it. Literally, you could take that quart of milk and you could walk out that store. You can choose to help somebody that can't carry a couple of bags into a building or hold a door or hand somebody a tissue that may not have. You can choose. We can choose that. See, nobody can take that away from us, not a single person. That is my realization in 2021. That's it. And it sounds like seriously bad out of everything. Everything you could have decided, seriously, you're thinking to yourself that that's your go-to, that you just had the realization of what? That nobody could take your power to choose? Yeah, I did have that realization. And I had it stronger this year than ever. We are living in a context of being challenged really similarly to how I started this show as a 17-year-old. Growing up in a world that seemed like we were coming apart. And, you know, I lived in the city. I graduated from the high school, Plainfield High School, where the riots occurred in 68 and 69. It's not a building that was busted. An entire city was burned down because people were not treated fairly or with respect. And protests on campuses or students believe so strongly in their rights and their freedom to choose, their freedoms so strongly. You know, whether it was abortion rights or pro-life, you still could choose what you believed in. Fast forward to where we are today, I think it is the second coming of the freedom to choose. Everyone now is being faced with that. And what I realize is it doesn't matter what a government does. It doesn't matter. We still, at the moment, and probably forever, it is the one thing that people can't take from us. They definitely could take away choosing in an external environment. They cannot take away what we choose to think and what we choose to put in our hearts. And that's what I'm struck by today. You know, I'm struck by this epiphany of mine at this stage of my life where I can choose whether to continue to work with a fantastic team of people listen to all of you and continue to build the transformation network. I can do that. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the hows. I don't have all of the reasons for what comes first and second. But boy, today I feel free. I also know what it's like to be of a color in this society, in this country, to be brown, to be black. I don't know it from personal experience, but I know it from my family. And I know what it's like to be in a car with a relative of yours whose husband is brown or black. I know what it's like to drive down the street and all of you get pulled over for no reason. See, these are the challenges facing our time, and now we get to choose. Now we get to choose what we do, what we say, how we do it. Now we get to decide for the first time the realization that many women don't realize they don't have equal rights in the United States of America. There is no equal rights amendment. It's local, it's state. So what happens in the external world now has raised the level of awareness. Each of us get to choose. We get to choose how we want to move forward in our lives. And this isn't a right or wrong conversation. This is simply about a power. And for me, the realization that I live in a country that's going to allow us here to build a network of positive, uplifting spiritual talk, going to be able to deliver that message around the world, whether or not certain channels want us to talk about this or talk about that. And by the way, we don't have to stream on those channels, but we will get to choose. And you all are integral in helping us choose the decisions that will support you most. So when I think about the subtitle of this book, and I think about self-inflicted limitations, it's an astonishing capacities. And I know you all do. Benny, thank you for today. Olivia, thank you for today. And I want to thank all of you, because this journey here, this 17-year journey, man, it's really shallow without all of you. You are the best. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Pat Show. We'll see you next time.
We're gonna make it out all right, just not right now.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests.